Regarding your question, why does the moon appear in pictures of Krishna and the god of Krishna Krishna having no need of sunlight or moonlight? The answer is that the picture shows Krishna as he appeared in Vrindavan 5,000 years ago. It may be understood, therefore, that it is the moon of this world to be seen along with Krishna in the pictures. I'm currently in Vrindavan with a party of 40 devotees. We haven't any that worry ground of the organization. We shall return to them tomorrow by coach. The official and the resident of Vrindavan of Vrindavan Day 19, they are simply responding to the city. Our country from Pakistan is great jubilation throughout the city. The mayor has publicly proclaimed that I've done something wonderful and that's the institution. We realize that before I ran in just the country, no one knew. So they knew about the down. Hundreds of commuters and victims in the country finally to this place. The renowned body to understand the renowned and now world famous due to my preaching work. And they're very much appreciating their hometown quality. Okay. As there is now no video lecture, and I thank you very much for understanding our philosophy of practice. Here is in one is always engaged in following the order of the spirit of the master, even in half, that is a simple of the balance. Regarding a privilege to endow and hear that to be able to focus on, everyone can go and prove to the mouth for a few days and then all together return. For the program in Bombay, she is on behalf of by everyone living. So you can plan accordingly. For the program in Bombay, it is important to make your mind creating the fitness to interfere with our work there. Not really. The restrict the down of a non-critical life, but the world without interfering with the Bombay program, that is the right to honor the globe. Therefore, short time. All night, every time we strike me from the city and we stand all together. Jai Shri Prabhupada, Krishna Prabhu. Chapter 26. Chapter 8, Chapter 26.
By the protection of beauty. Yadamana, progressively increasing. Mara, intoxication. Kuman, the human being. Na, never. Eva, Eva. That has been deserved. Abhidhasam, to address in feeling. Why? Certainly, from you, attention at all jaram, one who is approached easily by the materially exhausted man. Translation, my Lord, your Lordship can easily be approached, but only by those who are materially exhausted. One who is on the path of material progress, frankly improve himself with special talented, great opulence, high education, and worldly beauty, cannot approach you with sincere feeling. Please repeat, my Lord, your Lordship can easily be approached, but only by those who are materially exhausted. One is on the path of material progress, trying to improve himself with respectable parentage, great opulence, high education, and bodily beauty, cannot approach you with sincere feeling. So called by Divine Jayashi Bhagavan Vedam, the Son of the Prabhupada. They maternally advanced me, taking birth in aristocratic family and possessing great wealth, an education and attractive personal beauty. All materialistic men are mad after possessing all this material opulence, and this is known as the advancement of material civilization. But the result is that by possessing all this material assets, one becomes artificially puffed up, misinterpreted by the transcendent possession. Consequently, such materially puffed up persons are incapable of uttering the holy name of the Lord by addressing him freely, O Govinda, O Krishna. The state is not suitable. By once uttering the holy name of the Lord, the sinner gets rid of the quantity of sin that he is unable to commit. Such is the power of uttering the holy name of the Lord. There is not the least exaggeration in this statement, which means the Lord, the holy name, has such powerful potency that there is the equality to such utterance also. It depends on the quality of feeling. A helpless man can feelingly utter the holy name of the Lord, whereas a man who utters the same holy name in great material satisfaction cannot be so sincere. A materially puffed up person may utter the holy name of the Lord occasionally, but he is incapable of uttering the name in quality. Therefore, the four principles of material advancement, namely high parentage, good wealth, high education, effective beauty, are, so to speak, disqualification for progress in the path of spiritual advancement. The material covering of the pure spirit soul is an external feature, as much as fever is an external feature of the unhealthy body. The general process is to increase the degree of the fever and not to alleviate. To decrease the degree of fever and not to alleviate is by malsystem. Sometimes it changes spiritually advanced person becomes materially improvised. This is no discouragement. On the other hand, that improvisation is a good sign, as much as the falling of temperature is a good sign. The principle of life should be to decrease the degree of material intoxication and lead one to be more and more illusioned about the aim of life. In the grossly illusioned person are quite unfit for entrance into the kingdom of God. So here, Kunti Devi is continuing her prayers to Krishna, because Krishna, Supreme Personality of Godhead, was leaving Hastinapur, now called Delhi, and he was going back to Dwarka. So while he was returning, he said Uttara, his Kunti Devi's granddaughter, because the Aswatthama released his Brahmastra, he was going to kill the baby in a womb. And so Krishna went and extended himself and saved the baby in the womb. And after that, Kunti Devi is very feelingly offering prayers. So in today's prayer, she's saying that only those people who are materially exhausted. What does this word Akinchana Gosharam mean? Materially exhausted. and they can approach the Supreme Lord. Now what does that mean? It means that if a person is very much interested in enjoying the material world, then for him to go to God is very difficult. But then that is what everyone is going to God for. Is it not? Practically, if someone is going to the temple, he only has to ask for some material benefits. Is it not? So that kind of a worship is not classified as pure devotional service. Here, 99% of the people, they go to God out of distress, or if they need of something, or they are inquisitive, or they are wise. The soul without Bhajante Man, Sukhitino, Chajunam. So this going to God for some material need, it is not a very high form of worship, because there is self-interest involved. For example, I come here and I ask Krishna, can you give me a very nice house? Can you give me a very nice wife? Can you give me a very nice car? Whatever. But this is a voluntary concession. More like a businessman. They come, so alright, if you can give me this, I'll give you that. So like that kind of worship is going on, particularly in most temples and churches in London. They go to the Lord to ask for their tenth gratification, as we say. That means they are going there asking that their material needs being fulfilled. And they think that is the system of worship. Suppose if I come to you and say, oh, my dear so-and-so, can you give me $10? Then you say, what do you need $10 for? No, I am, need this money, I'm broke, I need house. Alright, I'll give you $10. Then tomorrow I come back again and ask, can you give me another $10 again? So why? Okay. And then he comes back again, can you give me some $5? After some time, you don't want to be near that person, is it not? Is it not? Why? Because he's constantly trying to harass you and trying to take something from you. This is one example. Suppose I give another example, that a person comes to you and offers you, hey, can you take some money? I want to give you some money. And he says, no, man. Next day, say, can I buy you a lunch? Next day, say, can I give you something? So, such a person, you want to readily be with him. Is it not? Two examples. One example is someone who's taking and you don't want to be with him. And someone who's always giving and you want to be with him. Is it not? So these two examples show the behavioral pattern of the soul. If the soul is very self-centered, then it's always going to God and harassing God, give me this, give me that, give me this, give me that. You know? This is not very high form of worship. But if you go, like the second person, go to the Lord and say, my dear Lord, how can I serve you? And you come, you want to clean the temple, or you want to chant the Lord's holy name, or you want to glorify Him, or you want to go and talk to Him about His glory to others. You know, these activities are very pleasing to the Lord. So one, although He is coming, of course, not that you shouldn't go, you can go, but Lord is not very happy in that kind of system of worship. You see? But somebody who is surrendered to the Lord, wants to glorify the Lord, wants to serve the Lord, with no return. And such a person becomes very dear to the Lord. So that is devotional service. Because devotional service means performing something unto the Lord without any return or expectation.
It is called a high form of worship. But ordinarily, no one can come to that platform. That is exactly. That's why here the word is used, Akinchana Dorsanam. It is not a word used by everybody and anybody. It is meant for that animated soul who doesn't have any desire other than to serve the lotus feet of the Lord. Such a person, where the Lord is, always with. Whereas someone is always demanding, and such a person, they cannot actually go to the Lord. Because if he is materially motivated, then the Lord is not very happy in seeing such a person, just as I gave the example of a person is constantly demanding something from you. You tend to want to avoid such a person. The same way. Now, Bhakti Devi is classifying further, what are the kind of person who also cannot go to him, God. One person can go to the Lord when he is materially exhausted or he doesn't have any more desire. And there is another class, four class of people who have got a lot of desire. They cannot go to the Lord. These four classes is one who is called the pious asset, which is classified here as four, Janma. That means he has got very aristocratic birth. When somebody has got very high parentage, then he becomes a little doctor. That he thinks he's a great man, he's very, you know, high in society, he cannot bow down, he cannot go and surrender to God, this time. You know, things like this. You can see people who have high parentage, aristocratic, they don't want to mingle with low-class people, right? They think they are very, very super great, like that. Then you have the next one, Janma Aishwarya. That means somebody who is very, very wealthy. And it's a fact that when the devotees try to approach a wealthy man, usually he is very not forthcoming. Is it not? Somebody who has a lot of money doesn't want to entertain. He doesn't even want to come and leave it at the book. Always put a sign, and watch out for the dog. Can't go to his house. Or if you go to his office, the secretary is always stopping. He cannot go in because he's stopping. You know, he doesn't want. Then you have got the next one. Sutta. Sutta means one who is highly educated. And such a person who has got high education, and they are also not very much humble. They think that actually they know everything. They think not to go and surrender to God. I know everything. Why? I understand. Actually, there is no God. Where is this God witness? If there is God, why there is so much suffering? This is all man-made. Usually people who have high education, they think like that. And finally, one who is Sridhi. Sridhi means famous. Oh, he has got very nice bodily teachings. And nowadays, people who got very nice bodily teachings, they are the least religious. You can see by their moral principles, right? They are either models or movie stars or whatever. And their activities are very, very degrading. They do many things which are not religiously upright. Is it not? You can see. Especially your Bollywood, right? Very, you can see the example itself, the Hollywood, the Bollywood, whatever. Very degrading, the actors. They behave very obnoxiously. No principle. So therefore here, this is spoken by Kunti Devi some 5,000 years ago. You can see how it is very, very applicable. So these four pious actors is a disqualification. So sometimes someone is praying so I can become very rich, or I become very handsome, or I become very knowledgeable, or I become very wealthy, or I have very nice high parentage. They think this is very nice. But no, this is not. Because if you want to go to Krishna, then you have can only go to Krishna when you become, as here is stated, you are very upset or very detachful of this material life. That you can see this material life is useless. So why is it useless?
because you can see the temporary nature of it. This material world is full of misery. And what is that misery? Dukkha dosha darshana. What is that? Birth, death, old age and disease. These are the misery of the material world. Janma, mrityu, jara, vyadhi, dukkha dosha darshana. And these four miseries of this material world is very, very, what you say, painful. Suppose somebody tell you that you only got so long to live, and you become very much in anxiety, is it not? And especially you have seen people who are dying, so much of pain, is it not? Everyone is very distressed, seeing somebody go, right? I'm sure you must have seen your dear ones leave the body, right? It's very, very traumatic. Many times people need some, let's say, counseling to help get out of this. Because it's pain. And birth is also painful. Not that we, maybe now we have forgotten what that when we have taken birth, but it's very painful. Imagine our head being pushed out from a little hole. How painful. Or we are stuck inside the mother's womb in like a bag. You know, if you put anybody in that position, he will die within 3 seconds. It's such a painful situation. So we are kept alive by the mercy of the Lord. And then when we come out, we are crying. Because pain. Otherwise, why are you crying? You should be loving one. Isn't it? When you come out of the womb of the mother, oh, Hare Krishna Prabhu, and just come out. You don't do that. You're crying. Isn't it? So much of pain. If there's a pain in someone, the child is crying. So you can see these are the problems, and of course disease. I don't say now maybe we have a young body, we don't have this problem, but as we're growing older and older, one by one the pot of material body will break down. And then when you're tormented by the disease, you have to keep so much of pills just to keep alive. Practically we eat more pills than food. Right? Have you seen? People who are older, they're taking more pills than the food. Practically they're living only on pills. That's all it. Very painful. And of course that. So a person who's intelligent, he will try to make a solution for this. That's intelligent. Oh, these are the problems of life. Let me see how I can get out. And that's intelligent. Not that he simply brush it aside and, oh, this is life, what to do, nobody can solve it, you're simply born. And best thing is to forget it. Just like the ostrich. Have you seen ostrich? When there's some danger, he hides his head in the sand and thinks there's no danger. So forget it, don't care about it. Put inside the closet and cover it. And that's what the modern method of civilization, modern civilization, their method is to do this. Don't talk about it. Why talk about all these things? Let us enjoy now. You see? So their concept is to forget it. But actually you cannot forget this thing, the reality. Why you cannot forget this thing? Because as you entrap in the human body, you have difficulty to make a solution to this problem. You understand? As human being, you can inquire, hey, why I have to die? I don't want to die. Why I have to grow old? I don't want to grow old. Why I have to grow old? You can inquire. But if you are put into the body of an animal, lower species, bird, tree, whatever, they cannot make this inquiry. You understand? They cannot. So human body, they can inquire. Why I have to die? I don't want to die. Suppose you take a goat and you go and kill him. You bring him along and you chop his head. Will he protest? In the last moment, he will just make some crying finish. Correct? But if you lead a man to be killed, what will happen? You'll call the what, human rights, you call so many people, you call the police, you call the fire brigade, everybody will call, right? Hey, I'm about to be killed, stop it. Is it, man? Right? And so many people also will try to stop. Because why? Human life is very valuable. Why is it valuable? It is valuable because you can stop the cycle of repeated birth and death. The human body is a vehicle to stop it. That is the essence of our prime goal of human life, the most important.
Because otherwise, what is this all going on? It's all a waste of time.
I make so much money, I spend. I make money, I spend. Correct? I eat, I sleep. I make, I defend. These are the things going on. Eating, making, sleeping, defending. This is our...
What?
Because you're not making any inquiry.
A human life means inquiry.
Why these things are going on? How can I stop it? But that is called intelligence. That's why here we are studying this book. These books are given by sages. What is the need of this? It's to uplift the human being. Uplift humankind. To give them an understanding of a higher nature. To give them knowledge about Krishna God. God is not just some ritual where you have the deity and you do some puja only. No. To understand who is God, it is also scriptures. So this understanding is very important because just like you are making a living, and in order to get a living, you have to go to school to understand and study, correct? And you have to develop, get some kind of material qualifications so that you can make a living. That's material. But spiritually also we have to understand why we are here. Who is God? Who are we? Where do we belong? That inquiry has to be done. That's the purpose. And of course, the most important thing is that we make this inquiry also because we are also put into a lot of perplexity. Day by day, we are put into anxiety. Although you want to do something nice when something goes wrong. Although you don't want to give trouble to somebody, somebody gives you trouble. Right? And then the weather is topsy-turvy, correct? It's so hot, so cold, sometimes floods, sometimes earthquakes, sometimes tsunami. So in this way, we are always put into anxiety. In fact, Krishna says that this material world, which you do not belong to, you belong to the spiritual world, Mamayam so jiva loke, jiva bhuta sanatana. Krishna says, you are my part and parcel. You belong to the spiritual world. You don't belong to the material world. Mana tatvendriyani pakististhana kashtati. You are entrapped in this troublesome place. This is Bukhalem Ashatu. This place is full of misery. You see, you don't stay here, you come back to me. That's what Krishna is telling. You understand? So to come out and go back to Krishna, you first must understand what is the negativeness of the material world. Correct? You have to study and see, oh, this place is full of all troubles. Then your desire will change. Unless you get a higher taste, you cannot give up a lower taste. Right? Now, unless you got a spiritual taste, now you will give up a material taste. See, therefore, Krishna is attention of Gocharam. They are not that they are materially exhausted and spiritually also not there. No. They are materially exhausted. Why? Because spiritually they keep developing the taste. Yoginam. Ramante yoginam ante. So the yogi, they are becoming very much happy because they are serving the Lord. And because they are getting pleasure from the service to the Lord, they are not interested in the material life. They are foregoing that. And what is the highest thing in the material life? The highest pleasure in the material life is sex life. So because of sex life, everybody is working very hard to get it. But the yogis, they denounce the sex life, which is the highest thing. And because they have accepted service to the Lord, the pleasure in serving the Lord is millions of times higher than the sex pleasure. They are actually, what we say, they are becoming very much detached. In fact, there is one very great king. His name is King Yamuna Acharya. He was king. So then he renounced his kingdom and he became a big acharya, teaching Krishna consciousness. And he said in one verse, Yadavari, Mama, Seta, Aravinda. Whenever I think, always now thinking of Krishna, I go to sleep, I'm feeling so much pleasure. But sometimes when I start thinking of material sex pleasure, my mouth curls in this place and I speak at the very thought. So he was king. Of course he must have a lot of, as a king he must have a lot of what? Electric tank, so many things, because king means what? He enjoys life. So when he gave up that life, when he became a devotee, he said that whenever I start thinking of his mundane sex life, my mouth curls in this state and I speak at the very thought.
You can see how much comes to the advanced platform. So the moment you come to that stage, then you are very much deep into the transcendental material life. So this is why the word Akinchana Goshram is used. They are not bothered anymore. They think it is the pleasure in the material world is very, very puny. You know, it's very, very puny or tiny. Whereas the pleasure of serving the Lord is like an ocean. Then when you dive into that ocean, you are no more interested in this material life. And therefore, it is very essential that we understand that. So how to get there? How do we get there? I know now I'm in a problematic situation. I know there's a higher principle of life. How do we get there? How do we connect? And that is where this chanting of Hare Krishna is very important. So when we start chanting Krishna's name, that connection is made, whereby we are gradually going to be removed from the material world and be established in the spiritual world. You understand? So therefore we encourage everybody to chant Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. Krishna Krishna Hare Hare, Hare Ram, Hare Ram, Ram Ram Hare. This connects us to the spiritual world, to Krishna. So when the connection comes, then we can feel the peace in our heart, because this is where all the happiness comes from. And then you are happy yourself, touches your what? Heart, right? You will not or touches your brain? No, the heart. Right? The heart is the seat of joy, because here, we are sitting here. So when we start chanting Krishna's name, that joy starts. Why? Because the Lord becomes happy and he appreciates and he starts reciprocating. So when the Lord starts reciprocating the joy, how he feels, then we also feeling happy. You understand? So the more we chant Krishna's name, the more we become happy. And another thing that happens mysteriously is that all these dirty things that we keep in our heart, this material desire, will be finished, will be wiped out. And not only that, not only this material desires and all these nonsense, also the past karma, all these karmic actions in which we are suffering now, will also become nalita. You see how much potent the holy name is. Just by vibrating Krishna's name, our heart becomes clean of materialistic desires, and also it purifies us from all our karmic past. So in this way, we are becoming, like just like when I take a bath, how do I feel? When I go to the shower and I take a shower, how do I feel? I feel refreshed, is it not? Huh? The same way, when we start chanting, we feel refreshed. We feel very much, what we say, enthusiastic, invigorated, full of fire, as we say. It's a symptom. So therefore, that connection with Krishna is very essential. And this secret is not known to the material world outside. The material outside, they understand there's death, they understand there's problem, but they do not know how to come out. And they think there's God, but they do not know how to connect with God. They go here to the temple, to the church, whatever, they go and they pray. Yes, but because they are not connecting, because to connect with to God, Krishna, it is by chanting Hare Krishna, and also this connection can be only be done through the help of a spiritual master. If the guru gives you the mantra, you please chant Hare Krishna. Then you see, when you start chanting, it connects. But without the help of a guru, this connection also cannot be made. You understand? So therefore, spiritual life is very important for the human being. And that's why we have now transmigrated from 8.4 million species of life. We have finally come to the topmost species of the human being. And now to waste the chance and not make the connection to the Lord is completely what we say, uselessly we are wasting our golden opportunity. Our golden opportunity is here now in the form of this human body. We should make best use of it by connecting ourselves to Krishna. Then our life will become very happy. You come to the happy stage. Every day you are happy. There's no sadness. There's no need for you to become unhappy when you are connected to God, because God is all happiness. Right, so this is what today is saying here. Don't try to aspire for high birth, lot of wealth, some good, what is a beautiful body, or some very high education. This is all useless. Try on the other hand to become materially exhausted and become spiritually attached. That's why it's going to give you grief. Who is saying that? Because she's very experienced. In fact, she's saying Krishna. She's talking to Krishna directly. It's not that she's respecting. And she's praying like that to Krishna, and Krishna is accepting her prayer. So
So we similarly have to follow in her footsteps. That we understand what she's saying, accept that instruction and practice it, and we will also become free from this material and think of there's no reason for us to suffer. God is not, God doesn't want us to suffer. His suffering is not created by God, it's created by us ourselves. We want to suffer. Why? Because we want to be separate from God, the Son. So try to give up the separatist mode, try to go back and enjoy serving the Supreme Lord. By starting initially by glorifying His holy name. This is all the message. It's all He wants. No hard and fast rules. Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare, Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. It can be chanted anywhere and everywhere, anytime, any place. No, what we say, restriction. So any questions or comments? Understand? You understood? You understood? Yeah, because you're tired, you know, you work all night, isn't it? Coming? 36 hours of working. How come you can work for 36 hours? But it's not very healthy, you know, working like this. Right? Why do you work like that? Well, what is the use now? It's not proper use. What then? It's why the Lord brought you here now. Because your desire to use your time for God, so therefore the arrangement is made. Right? Your desire is to go and become like a dog outside, work 48 hours or what, then you will go there. That's not. Because of your desire to serve the Lord, so now you're coming here, the process now will start. Understand? Now you want to use 36 hours to serve the Lord, your process must start. What is the process? To start cleaning your heart. Understand? Cleaning your heart. Understand, of all dirty things. When your heart becomes purified, then you will serve the heart 24. You serve the Lord 24 hours a day. Like all these yogis, great devotees, they're 24 hours a day serving the Lord. They're not sleeping at all. Believe. Why? Because they are purified. So now to come to that stage, you need to purify. Let's start by chanting Krishna's name. Hare Krishna, Krishna Krishna, Hare Hare. Hare Rama, Hare Rama, Rama Rama, Hare. And taking Krishna Prasadam. Krishna Prasad, you know Prasad? Two things. Chanting Krishna name and taking Krishna Prasad. You see, very quickly your heart will become purified. Then yes, you will work 24 hours there for Krishna. You say, why Krishna will put you like that? Krishna will take you out. You understand? Yeah, anybody who stood anywhere is by the mercy of the Lord. Karamana, Devika, Netrena, all done by the arrangement of the Lord. You cannot do anything. If you dream that you will go and work like this, you never, correct? Is it not? The desire was to make money, and more money. Then Krishna put you like that. Now your desire is changing. No, I don't want this, I want you, Krishna. And then you see, Krishna is taking you out there. Right? It's a process. So you continue chanting Hare Krishna, you continue hearing Krishna philosophy, and you continue eating Krishna Prasadam, and then very quickly you will come out again. And why come out? You will give up this body and go back to the kingdom of God. When you go back to God, you don't come back to the material world anymore. You understand? Right? Anything else? Just like in water. This water is coming from this temple. Can I say this water is Hindu water? Can I say this water is Hindu water? What is water? Same with God. God is God. You cannot classify God according to race, caste, religion. No? God is beyond, just like water. The water is God. You know what we say. You can't say Hindu water,
Chinese water, Malay water, no, water is water. Right? And the same way your spirit soul, you may be trapped in a body which is what? Punjabi. Correct? But the body is Punjabi. But are you Punjabi? Just like me, I may be trapped in this body, maybe Indian. But I cannot say that I'm Indian. I'm a spirit soul. Similarly with God, Krishna. He's not Indian. But he's not Hindu. Right? Because he's God, he's beyond it. You understand? So we are not here for practicing Hinduism, no. We're not trying to make you a Hindu, no. We're trying to make you a devotee of Krishna. You understand? And that means you're not Hindu, you're not Tamil, Punjabi, Telugu, Chinese, Malay. No, you're not. What are you then? I'm actually a servant of Krishna. You understand? And that is beyond his body. You clear? So don't become, because it's a problem, you know, they think that Krishna is Hindu, you know, and they try to make it sectarian. You understand? And that becomes sectarian to some group of people. No. God is available for everybody. For example, let's take the word Allah. What does that mean? Allah means Almighty. Then Krishna, when he was a little boy, he set up over the hill just to show how Almighty he is, right? Quality of God. Let's take the word Christ. What does that mean? Christ means the Anointed One. Who is the Anointed One? Supreme Lord Krishna. And now you take the word, what is that? Jehovah. Jehovah means the Chosen One. The Lord is the Chosen. Then you take the word Buddha. Buddha means one who is enlightened. Who is more enlightened than Krishna? Qualities of God. And you take the word Krishna. It means all attractive. Krishna means all attractive. Krishna doesn't mean Hindu. Krishna means all attractive. His quality, God's quality is all attractive. Attract everybody. You understand? So that's quality of Krishna. Like that, Krishna got many, many names. That's because, the word Hindu does not exist in our scripture. The word Hindu is put into us because of the Muslims. The Muslims, they were living on the other side of the Sindhu River. So they cannot, in their language, there's no sh. They got sh. So they got Hindu. Anybody that side is Hindu. You understand? That's how the word came by. The word Hindu does not exist in our scripture at all. You take any book, no? You understand? So why? Because we are all actually devotees of Krishna. And Krishna is not Hindu. Krishna is not Muslim. Krishna is not Christian. Krishna is Krishna. You are Maldi. Understand? You understanding this point? Are you understanding this point? Any other questions? Everybody is serious that they are programmed, you know. Oh, I'm Chinese, I must go to the Chinese God. I'm Malay, I must go to the, you know, mindset. Because we identify with the body. When you leave this body and take a Chinese body, then what is it? The Chinese? You understand? So pertaining to the dress, now you're wearing this dress. Do you identify with this dress? Let's say you're wearing a Nike what? T-shirt. Can you say you're a Nike now? Does it make sense? The shirt is shirt, right? Has nothing to do with the shirt. I'm different from the shirt. So similarly, this body is like a dress. You understand? So when I come out of this body, then I don't identify as a body.
But if I understand I'm not the body, then I won't care for the body.
You understand? You're spiritual. You are spirit soul. You're spiritual. You're not material. You understand? Just like a boy is crying, his father is dead. He says, oh, my father is gone, my father is gone, my father is gone. But what is gone? The eyes is there, the leg is there, the head is there, the body is there. Everything is there. What is gone? No, my father is gone. So what is gone? So the spirit soul at work. You understand? The body is dead. His body is to be discarded. Of no more importance. The moment the soul leaves the body is discarded. Similarly, the importance is the soul. And we are spirit soul. You understand? We are not this body. The body is temporary. After some years, you will die. But you as a soul will never die. You understand? So you need to go back to the supreme place where you come from. We all are spirit soul, part and parcel of Krishna, who is the supreme spirit soul. So we need to go back to him. You understand? Huh? You understand that? And that's why to go back to him, we glorify the Lord. This is like your Guru Nana, right? His Guru Nana, you know, your Sikhism, is always chanting what? Ram, 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 Ram. You are chanting Ram's name? Because later on they change to Vaya Guru. That's also not wrong, because you need to go to God, you need the Guru. Not only Guru, you need Guru and God. You understand? The Guru is a representative of God. So you go through your Guru to go to Krishna. You understand? If you can't just say Guru only, then what? And also it's not good. Correct? The Guru is a representative of God and he should lead you to God. But if he doesn't lead you to God, then what's the Guru for? The Guru Nana. You say he's called Chan, Ram's name, right? Right enough. So you go to Ram. I will take you to Ram. That's proper. You understand? That is the idea. That's also what you are teaching here. Now you go to Krishna. That is proper Guru. Not that a Guru says nothing, no go anywhere, just come to me. Now, does it make sense? That is not a Guru. A Guru means teacher. He teaches you what? Correct? When you say Guru, what is the meaning of Guru? He's a teacher. He teaches you something. What does he teach you? Teaches you how to love God. That's the Guru. You understand? Meaning. But he teaches you nothing, he teaches you how to fight. Yeah, then is the Guru teaching you how to fight? Different. Huh? But the purpose of a spiritual Guru is he teach you how to love God. That's cool. You understand? Huh? So this has to be clear. Otherwise we will be confused. Practically many religions, they all are in a confused stage. Why? Because the goal is forgotten. Many people take God, as I said earlier in the class, for their own personal, what? Benefit. You know, for their own self-interest. And that's not love. Understand? Okay, we stop here. Dantarajna Bhavaram Ji, Slavopada Ji, Gaur Bhavaram Ji.